Hey, welcome to the Double Drop Kick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman, and I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
And that should tell you that today is a they're all special, but this is a super special edition of the Double Drop Kick Show. Normally, we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. Today, we're talking about the Saturday Night Live that we grew up with. But before we get into this audio excellence, we're going to send you to this week's gimmick table. Hey, it's Heath Mulliken with the Double Dropkick Show here at the NWA Mid-Atlantic Legends Fan Fest. I'm here with Jake Manning from HighSpots.com, which we talk about on the show. Jake, a lot of our fans may not be familiar with your site. What are the types of things you guys have on HighSpots?
Well, we've got a lot of exciting things happening right now, especially in the digital realm. We've got a lot of digital downloads, audio downloads, a wonderful streaming site, which has a comparable price to WWE Network for $9.99 a month. Right. It's got over 1,000, actually it's probably closer to 2,000 videos by now that are available on highspots.tv. Also, too, this weekend we are launching a new site that's pretty exciting. It's called DIY Wrestling, which is basically a hosting site for anybody, independent promoter. They can put their stuff up there, and they basically put their stuff up, and people can rent their videos and stuff like that. Very much similar to like iTunes rentals and stuff like that, but people can have their own marketplace. You know, for those independent wrestling promoters that are trying to find a place to put their place out on digitally, it's just as easy to use as YouTube, and of course, it's got an automatic payment system through PayPal and everything like that. So digitally, we've got a lot of exciting things going on right now. Also, in the DVD realm, we just released the Harley Race documentary, as well as also a PWG's Best of Super Dragon just came out, and we just wrapped up the Kickstarter campaign for $5 Wrestling's Freight Train to go over to the UK. So a lot of exciting things happening over just off HighSpots office, just behind the old Coliseum.
Now, you guys have like a ton of wrestling gear. Like if guys are getting into wrestling, you got a ton of autograph pictures. Talk about just some of the gear you've got. I know I'm still eyeballing a Russian Assassin mask, but they told me that gimmick's not going to get over these days. But what are some of the other just other stuff you guys have? I mean, your site is so full of great wrestling stuff.
Well, that's the thing too, is like we've really tried to up our quality of gear and everything like that. Like we used to have a warehouse on the coast that used to make knee pads. Now that is done in house. We are trying to do the same with the canvases, the turnbuckle pads, the kick pads. All those are now done in house. We also have another person coming in house making gear. That's always been a big problem with ours, is we have to wait for somebody to ship. Make the gear, then ship it to us, then we ship it to somebody. Now we make it in-house. So if somebody's like, hey, why are my trunks taking too long? We can just walk in the back room and go, hey, why have these trunks come out? So that's kind of been like a big thing for us, is to get everything underneath one house. So, you know, like I said, manufacturing, digital stuff, all kinds of stuff is available.
So it's highspots.com. And what was the new site that's just launching this weekend? Tell our fans what that is.
That is DIY Wrestling. I believe it's DIYWrestling.com. Highspots.tv. Like I said, it's a streaming site very comparable to WWE Network, but it may have more hours of footage on it. I don't know. It's got quite a bit, though. But those are the sites.
Hey, thank you so much, Jake. So, Mark, we threw this topic out.
Right.
The Saturday Night Live we grew up with.
Yeah.
We're just going to talk.
Yeah.
This is going to be a free-flowing conversation of basically reliving our childhood. Now, let me throw this out at you. For me, Saturday Night Live, it is a rite of passage growing up. What I mean by that is when you're a kid, staying up till 11:30 on a Saturday night in itself is an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Just being if you can be awake at 11:30 at night, you're doing something.
Yeah.
Then to get to a point, not only that you have stayed up till 11:30, but you are engaging with a television show,
right?
And most of the time behind your parents' back,
right? And it is very mild,
yeah.
But it at one time was a very subversive comedy show,
yes,
especially in its early days.
Yes,
and it's cool that you mentioned that, because I talk about my nephew Ethan all the time, and he come and stayed with me this weekend. We're riding down the road, and he's 13, and he goes, did you watch Saturday Night Live this week? And I was, because I knew we were going to, and it was just, so I kind of, and he was talking about the Jim Carrey when he was riding down the road.
Oh, yeah.
And impersonating Matthew McConaughey. So I went and watched that because I had to see it with the Lincoln commercials. Yes. Have you seen him for the car? And he's like contemplating everything in life. And he goes, you know, why am I rolling this booger? feels like a tennis ball in my But I just thought, how cool is that, that now he's 13 and he's discovering Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Probably about the same time. I was watching it a little bit earlier than the 13.
Right.
Just
because, you talked a little bit about your dad, how your dad kind of introduced you.
Yeah, yeah. He was big into comedy and stuff. So he was always like John Belushi and, you know, Dan Aykroyd. The Blues Brothers is one of my favorite movies. And
yeah.
I loved watching them on, and I mean, that was a few years later. I mean, I'm watching it in repeats. It's not like I was born in 75 and it's right. 40 and I'm close to 40. So it's not like I was sitting up watching them, but I do remember seeing them early in life when they would do the specials, when they would go back and kind of show some of that stuff. I got into watching a lot of that old stuff. And
you talk about, you used to have a bunch of wrestling tapes. I've got somewhere tapes and tapes and tapes of Saturday Night Live, because you would, I would, because I got to a point where, you know, we went to church every Sunday morning, and you stay up till 1 o'clock, and you got to get up the next morning. So I started taping it.
I did too.
And I would get up Sunday morning, and I would watch some of it before church, and I'd watch some of it after church.
Right.
Because you'd watch it before church, and that's what you would talk about with your friends when you got church. Hey, did you see this? Did you see? Would you see that now? You know, you DVR it, you can watch it whenever you want to.
But, and it's on, they got, at one time on Netflix, they had every season on Netflix, but they don't anymore, because I checked yesterday just because I wanted, because I watched a bunch of the old ones a few months back. Now they just got the 2010s, but on Hulu, they've got, I'm going to say like the first 4 or 5 seasons, and then the past maybe 10 years on Hulu right now. So, I mean, there's some, a lot out there that you can watch, but I mean, you get that old stuff with the Coneheads and Uncle Buck Henry.
And, oh my goodness. Which,
I mean,
no,
that would not be on television today in any way. If they did, oh Lord. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to go into it.
You can't even Google it. I mean, you can't. Well, I mean,
it's like, very hard to find.
I mean, we've changed the way we consume media, and so most of the time, you can find a Saturday Night Live clip.
Yeah, but those Uncle Buck Henry are not easy to find.
No,
that's
how controversial. Yeah, and how,
if you don't know, it was basically Uncle Buck Henry would show up to babysit his it was Gilda Radner, and I can't remember the other lady's name, Lorraine Newman, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they played his nieces, and you can imagine where it went from there.
Yeah. Let's start the – you mentioned a name there, Gilda Radner.
Rosanna Dana.
She – can I – for some reason, when I first started watching Saturday Night Live, by that point, I don't know if she had passed away yet, but she was no longer active on the show.
Right.
And for the longest time, I didn't get her.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't the typical woman that you saw on TV, as far as her looks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, man, in hindsight, just one of the funniest people that you have ever seen.
Yeah.
When her and Bill Murray would do the nerds and they're giving each other noogies, I mean, that is just... come on, Todd. It's just classic stuff.
Bill Murray, I always liked the lounge singer.
Yes. And the old Star Wars. I mean, how many times exactly did you quote that in high school?
The theme from Star Wars.
And hey, Darth Vader, and that dark and evil mask, did he scare you as much as he scared me? I love it. Yeah, we're going to be singing a lot on this
probably
show.
Probably so.
Let's talk about, I mean, Bill Murray.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about Bill Murray. I want to talk about just
the Bill Murray you grew up with.
The Bill Murray. I'm not talking about movie guy Bill Murray, who talk about a career.
Yeah, he's like a he's an icon.
He definitely is.
And was going to be a doctor.
Really?
Yeah, and got caught at an airport trying to smuggle marijuana in either into or out of the country. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like telling tales out of school. It's on public record. And he became a comedian instead.
And has blessed the world.
Yeah, and is just a... It just seems like a really cool guy. The way he hangs out around Charleston a lot, apparently, and he's like all the time popping up. And he went to a bachelor party.
Yeah,
like and I've read stories where like people will meet him,
yeah,
somewhere, and say, "Hey, man, we're having a party. Do you want to come?"
Yeah,
and he'll go. Yeah, let's go. And yeah, he'll go to the party, and then there's the story of when he was. Lady was in like a McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Have you heard this?
Uh-uh.
And the chick's in McDonald's and she gets her food and she turns around to walk to her table and there's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
In front of her in the McDonald's and he reaches onto her tray. He grabs a French fry. He eats it and he goes, "Nobody's ever going to believe you when you tell them that just happened," and walked off.
That's great. That's great. That's great, man. What are some? I'm trying to think. Bill Murray, you got the lounge singer. I love the one cheeseburger. Yes, I want two scrambled eggs and some hash brown. Cheeseburger.
And then like Dan Aykroyd, every time they say cheeseburger, he's throwing one on the griddle.
Yeah.
So Belushi comes in and he's trying to explain to the guy why he has to have a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And he starts pointing to everybody. No, see, look around. See him? Cheeseburger. And he's pointing them out all over. So as he's doing it, Aykroyd's just throwing them on the. No Coke, Pepsi. And that's a real restaurant.
Really?
Yes, in Chicago. That's based on a real restaurant that they used to go eat at. Yeah.
Really? That you can only get a cheeseburger? Yeah.
No. That they don't. No Coke, Pepsi. Or no Pepsi Coke, whichever one it is. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. That was a little bit before my time. I'm trying to think of other, what are some other Bill Murray characters that you got written down?
I don't have any other Bill Murray characters because he's just.
He was only on one season,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, he wasn't. And he was the lounge singer and then the Todd, and I can't remember the Gilda Radner, whatever that girl's
but
name
40
was.
Years later, he was only on one season. I think he's hosted a few times, but like 40 years later, you would think. I mean, he might not be on the Mount Rushmore of Saturday Night Live, but
he's definitely
one of the founding fathers.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that was there in the beginning is. I mean, Mount Rushmore, no.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he has that body of work.
This is good. Dan Aykroyd. Let's just kind of play connect the dots.
Bassomatic.
Start with Bassomatic,
where he actually takes a blender, puts a bass into the blender, and turns it on national television.
Yeah. And then drank it.
No, he didn't drink it.
Oh, somebody else drank it.
Somebody else drank it.
That's good.
That's good bass.
Like, hello, this is a bag of glass. This is very unpopular with the kids. We got the Michael Jordan tattoo kit.
Yeah, that guy's great, man. I don't remember the name. What was that cat's name?
I can't remember, but it was the something toy.
The Happy Fun Time Toy Company or something like that. It was like a big bag. It was a big bag of hypodermic needles.
The Johnny Switchblade.
Yeah.
And he had the Teddy Chainsaw Bear and the big chainsaw in the front. Yeah. Sir, these. And you had, was it Jane Curtin? And she would always play this straight person. And she was like, "Sir, these are an abomination." And he's like, "All right, what's the matter? The kids love them. Yeah."
And when have you seen the Jimmy Carter episode when he talks about the guy taking the, "All right, what you've done? It seems like you've taken some very powerful acid there. What you going to want to do is just put you on some Allman Brothers, man." And he talks this guy down off of a bad trip. That's great. That's one of my favorite.
You also talked about, you know, the Coneheads, and you know they ended up doing the movie off of that, the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Jake and Joliet, Jake and Elwood, man, just I love that movie. I can watch that movie. We talked about movies you can watch anytime. That's one.
Yeah.
We're on a mission from God.
Yeah.
You know, such a quotable.
Yes.
Let me get four chickens. All right. So you want four pieces of chicken? No, ma'am. I want four whole chickens or whatever it is. Two whole
chickens. This fool in here wants four whole chickens. Jake and Elwood.
Yeah.
And the fact that.
How much for the women?
The fact that. You talk about, you know, just talent.
I'm going to watch the Blues Brothers tonight.
That Dan Aykroyd has legitimate musical talent.
And so did Belushi. They released a couple of albums.
That they could sing, and then Aykroyd played the harmonica.
Yeah. Rawhide. When they were in the country western band, that's the only country song they knew.
How many people from our generation only know the words to Rawhide because of the Blues Brothers.
Because of that movie, yeah.
And how many times did you find yourself singing it because of that movie? And then I actually loved the Blues Brothers so much, got a tape recorder, held it up to the TV, recorded all their music where they did a song, recorded it so I could listen to it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, you can buy that.
Well, back then you couldn't.
Yeah, that's true. Back then, that's just the way we did stuff.
But back then, and plus the soundtrack was different.
Yeah.
I wanted the.
You wanted what, the how they did. Yeah.
Yes. That's what I wanted. You talked about, and this is, because I want to say Belushi for later. You talked about Dan Aykroyd doing Jimmy Carter.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about the presidential impressions.
Yeah.
That really, starting with Chevy Chase and Gerald Ford.
That's a star maker thing, man.
Yes.
I mean, that's a star maker thing.
Yes. Let's go through. Because for me, I think of 1988. That's really when I first started watching. I was 13. And the 88 presidential debates were happening. You had Dan Aykroyd playing Bob Dole. Dana Carvey was starting as George Bush, excuse me. You had somebody was Al Sharpton. You had Dukakis. I'm trying to think. There was some guy named Pete DuPont, and I don't remember him as a politician. I just remember most of my memories of politics from that era come from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And Dan Aykroyd, I just remember him as Bob Dole. It's like, Bob Dole didn't grow up with a silver spoon in his mouth. Hey, why do you tell everybody your name's Pete when your name's Pierre? Why do you do that? And we were so influenced by the 88 and the 92 where – you had Carvey doing Bush. You had Hartman doing Clinton. And then you also had Dana Carvey doing.
Carvey was also doing Ross Perot.
That we, in our high school, and this is on YouTube somewhere, and I'm going to find it. Brad Finley and Carrie Trainman and I did a presidential debate for a Keep America Clean project.
Huh.
So we did a presidential debate about litter and stuff, sent that in, won a contest, and won a pizza party for our student council. But we weren't impersonating Bush, Clinton, and Perot. We were impersonating the guys impersonating Bush, Clinton.
Right.
And that, to me, speaks to the – I mean, George Bush didn't really – not going to do it. Wouldn't be. He didn't talk like
– no.
But everybody
– 1,000 points of light.
Now, what was great is when Bush, he wasn't live on Saturday Night Live, but when he says, he's like, Dana Carvey, I don't talk like that. Wouldn't be prudent.
That's right. I don't do it. Wouldn't be prudent. And then the Ross Perot, can I finish? Can I finish? I play that to you a lot.
Can I finish?
Like that's.
I got $3 billion at home. I'll be all right.
That's right.
What was great is one of the debates that they were doing showed what the candidate was thinking while the other person was talking. And it showed George Bush, and while Perot's talking, he's just thinking about the Munchkin guy from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
But you had – I can't remember – I think Hartman also did Reagan. Well
– yeah, he may have. He did. Yeah, he did. Phil Hartman, man.
Let's say – I want to save him in his entirety for later. Let's finish. So not just the presidents. Sorry, I'm cutting you off on Phil Hartman.
It's about three times I've tried to talk about somebody.
So not just presidents. President's wife, Jan Hooks, she did Nancy Reagan. I remember Nancy Reagan and Frank Sinatra doing a skit.
Yeah.
That was great. Where Sinatra hides – And the guy comes over. He's like, move on, buddy. I'm a coat rack.
Keep it moving, pal.
But the, again, that goes back to Phil Hart.
I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
So let's talk about Phil Hartman.
All right, let's talk about him. What do you want to talk about?
He's by far. He's I actually printed.
I think, for me,
yeah,
it may be the greatest cast member.
Yeah,
I don't. You know, it's a tough call of who's the greatest. That's very very tough to call. But he's always in the conversation for people. The anal retentive chef and
yes,
unfrozen caveman lawyer and
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. I mean, just so many guys that he did, but that Frank Sinatra group, man.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, and he said some things on that would be real offensive today to some
people. But, yeah.
You know.
Can't hear a word. Can't understand a word. You don't have to play blue, buddy. You got talent. I ain't got no talent. You got a Ben Vereen type quality, baby. Look at you guys. You're just swimming in my wake.
I got a buddy, man, and I got chunks of guys like you in my stool. Oh, that's one of our lines that we say to each other all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, shut your mouth, punk. I got chunks of guys like you in my stool. Yeah.
And I say that, and they don't – and I think at the time I had no idea what he meant. I think I had to ask – I mean, I don't know. I thought he said stew. For the longest time. Like, so it became
so innocent.
I was just a kid.
We were good kids.
So what was great was on that when Jan Hooks was playing Sinead O'Connor's like, I can't believe we're talking about this with all the pain and suffering in the world. He's like, he played the little feet, the little violin.
Say something like, because I tried to find that yesterday and I couldn't find it on YouTube, but I remember him saying, you just shut your mouth, cue ball.
Listen, you better salute that flag every time it goes up.
Cuba.
She's like,
I got something that I want to say, but you're just going to edit it out. When he was talking about Sinead O'Connor, and he goes, I hear you, baby. But I read you, baby, loud and clear. Your business.
He's like, Luther Campbell, what do you think? I like,
I hear you, baby, loud and clear.
While we're on Phil Hartman, Grantland, which is kind of a comedy, you know, sports deal that Bill Simmons does. A couple months ago, they did the bracket. They had a 64 cast member bracket where you could vote.
Huh.
Phil Hartman came in second to Will Ferrell, and it was actually kind of a blowout at the end. But I don't want to talk about the bracket. There's a great, absolutely. I'll be honest. I read it this morning, cried a little bit. But there's an article on Phil Hartman I printed out for you. We'll link to it in the show notes. I mean, just simply the title of this article is The Glue, and that's really what he was called, because a lot of people don't realize that when you got to 85, 86, the show tanked.
Yeah. As it does every few years before they rebuild.
So 86, 87 is when there's this fresh start. Phil Hartman and some other people come in. But they came in, and it's widely, up to that point, Saturday Night Live was kind of like, even the cast members kind of take it as it comes, and not really, there's not a lot of professionalism to it in the sense of taking each and every role seriously. Like, if you got a throwaway role, you don't really study up for it. Whereas Phil Hartman had a binder, and even his smallest roles. And one of the things it said is in the Matt Foley skit, the very first Matt Foley skit.
Have you ever seen my Matt Foley impersonation?
No, I have not.
All right. Well, I'll do it for you sometime.
I want to do that on video.
Okay.
For the show.
We'll do that as a teaser for the...
But a lot of people don't... Phil Hartman is the dad in the Matt Foley show, or the Matt Foley interview. And when Chris Farley crashes through the table, that was not supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't supposed to... I think the table's going to break if he jumps on it, but that wasn't supposed to happen.
Oh, yeah, it was like balsa wood table.
But they talk about in this article that when that happened, David Spade and I think it was...
Christina Applegate.
Yes. Just lose it, have to cover their mouths, and I think it's Phil Hartman and Julia Sweeney were the parents.
Uh-huh.
And Phil Hartman completely stays in character. what is written as a forgettable role. He's not the star of this skit. He's not. Right. He's number he's four that, in this yeah, skit. Yeah. But he just shoots mom a look that's not in the script, not required, but his commitment to the craft, his commitment to the show just added so much about it. You know, this is a wrestling podcast. And to me, Phil Hartman, that's what's missing from wrestling today. We talked about it at the Anarchy show.
I agree.
The fact that when the first guy got busted open, the way they reacted to it, that, man, this is bad. This guy's really hurt.
Right.
To the point of, I'm marking out. Next to you, he's like, dude, something happened.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
I don't think that was in the script.
That wasn't part of the show.
And that's what I love about Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
Is you're watching a television show, and he is selling.
Yeah.
He's trying to sell you. I am a dad. This motivational speaker has been in my basement, and he just broke my freaking living room table.
Yeah, yeah.
And I miss that. God rest his soul. I mean, I've just missed the guy sometimes.
You know, the opposite of that on Saturday Night Live, but it worked, was Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Who was very – it was just like – I loved watching him in a skit or because you could just tell he was having fun.
Yes. And you that's also I mean? Something that's missing from wrestling today. Yeah.
I watched the Barry Gibb talk show. Have you ever seen that, man?
I've seen parts of
him. Him and Justin Timberlake play Barry Gibb and Robin Gibb, and he's doing a political talk show.
Yeah.
And he's there up there singing, we're talking it up on the Barry Gibb talk show. Talking it up, you know, and they got the white leisure suit.
Yes.
And the,
yes.
We're talking about leisure suits. We're talking about funky gold medallions.
Are they the modern day Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis?
You know, they could be. I wish they would make a movie together.
Yes.
They could make those kind of movies together because just Jimmy Fallon is incredibly funny.
Yeah.
And Justin Timberlake, and you and I talked about this. Due to his being so good,
yes,
on Saturday Night Live and on Jimmy Fallon's show when he comes on and he does all that kind of stuff, man, it's okay for me to say I like Justin Timberlake, whereas I would never have admitted that if it hadn't.
We would have been closet Timberlake fans,
right? But
never
I
would have liked NSYNC. But once the guy goes,
and I don't like NSYNC. But I do like Justin Timberlake, and I don't like pop music. I'm a heavy metal.
No, you do not.
I listen to a lot of heavy metal, but I recognize, hey, like I say, talent recognizes talent.
You got talent, baby.
You got talent, baby.
Shoot for the stars.
And he's funny.
Yes.
When he's doing Robin Gibb, sitting beside it, and he would always, just like I do, what do you want to talk about? Like Barry would go, what about you, Robin? Do you have anything you want to add? And he would go, nah. Just very, very deadpan. And he never, until it was time to sing.
Yeah.
And then he would get up and he was, you know.
And Jimmy Fallon, I don't want to get too far off the Saturday
Barry
Night Live.
You know. I love it, man. It's one of the funniest skits ever because his over the top Barry Gibb. When he's asking people, you know, Arianna Huffington's on there,
yeah.
And she starts talking, and he goes, all right, that's enough. I better give King sound the sound of your voice. He's just so hyper, and he's jumping up and doing karate kicks.
We're kind of like being like Jimmy Fallon on the show because we can't keep a straight face today.
I just love it, man.
When I think Jimmy Fallon, I don't know that he changed media. But especially with his talk show, he embraced the changes in media. People are not consuming a 1 hour talk show; they're consuming it in segments.
You're right.
That he started putting. Now you don't consume Saturday Night Live as a whole show. We would there's no episodes that we remember start to finish.
No.
You remember the moments. Segments. And I think they've embraced that. I think the digital shorts you talked about, Timberlake. I mean, some of the digital shorts, not appropriate for children or this show.
Well, let me put one out there that is appropriate.
Okay.
Okay, because I know you don't want me to go to certain places, and I respect that.
Right,
because we're friends, and I respect that. But there is one that we can talk about, which is the one with Michael Bolton.
Okay.
Have you seen it? The Jack Sparrow song? that he does with the Lonely Island Boys?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, my God. It is hilarious.
That's what we're watching during lunch.
It is hilarious, man. The Lonely Island Boys are going to do a song about going to the club.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that. And then he comes in and he goes, oh, man, I just watched a Pirates of the Caribbean marathon. Have you seen those movies? They're great. And they go, yeah, they are pretty good. And he goes, that's cool. If you guys are ready to get started, I wrote a really cool chorus for the song. So they launch in and it's like what you would expect, that we're going to the club and they're walking around throwing the money out. And he goes, now it's time for Michael Bolton to do his part. And they switch to him and he's standing on the beach and he goes, this is the tale of Captain Jack Sparrow. He just sings this whole chorus about him being this pirate. And they go back to the Lonely Island Boys and they're all looking at each other like, what the heck was that, man?
Yeah.
So then they sing their part. And as it's time for him, he just pops up on the screen and he goes, now back to the good part. And he sings another verse about Jack Sparrow. And they're like, you can't do that. And he goes, well, let me try another one. And he goes, this is the tale of Forrest Gump. And he does Forrest Gump. And then he does Aaron Brockovich. And then the best one they say for the end, when he jumps up and says, this is the tale of Tony Montana. And he's dressed like Scarface. Nice. And he goes, he's got a wife and her womb is polluted. Just, all these lines that you can imagine where it goes from Scarface. It is... There again, it made it okay to like Michael Bolton for me, because he was so good in that. He was so funny.
So now when you...
He got what you would criticize Michael Bolton for, he did it in a funny way.
Yeah.
The over the top.
When you can parody yourself.
Right, and that's what he was doing. He was making fun of himself. And if you've never seen that,
all right,
you have deprived yourself from a classic piece of comedy.
Well, and it makes it so when you hear Michael Bolton... in Walmart singing Oh Holy Night.
Yeah.
You're like...
Oh, I listen to it.
I appreciate this song because I appreciate Michael Bolton.
Yeah, I appreciate Michael Bolton now for showing... I really do.
Now, if we can just stop the war on Christmas. Now, let's talk about some other... Well, as we were preparing for today, I was more into the old stuff. You were talking about some of the new stuff. So, let me throw out... There is one time, and I think I remember most of the episode... when William Shatner hosted.
Yeah.
I can't remember the year. I'm pretty sure Star Wars movie's coming out. I don't know if it was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12. But they started out with an Oliver North skit called The Mute Marine. And it was... And I still could sing that whole song. If Alan McAllister walked in that door, we could sing that whole song together. Because
that's
what I grew up with. I had no idea who Oliver North was. I had no idea what was going on with at that time in history with the taking the Fifth Amendment and the Iran-Contra affair. But then they had William Shatner. He's at a Star Trek convention giving a speech.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I travel around and go to a lot of these. And I really just want to say one thing to you people. Get a life. I mean, get a life. You guys have taken something I did as a lark for a few years, and you've turned it into a colossal waste of time. I mean, look at you. Have you ever kissed a girl? And it's like one of them's got on a shirt that says, I grok Spock, and, you know, they're all talking, you know. And then A. Whitney Brown, who was in very few skits, comes up. Or no, sorry, it's not A. Whitney. It's Phil Hartman comes up.
Yeah,
and Phil Hartman's showing him like the contract, and they start shoving each other. And then Bill Shatner says, "Of course, you know that was just the evil Captain Kirk from episode." And he whispers, "He's episode 59, and so we're ahead. Warp Factor 7. Here we go." You know. And then later on, I mean, again, you talk about parodying yourself. They did an episode of Star Trek where Starfleet is dismantled, and now the Enterprise is a restaurant, and so Captain Kirk walks in, and Sulu is fat now. He's like, Mr. Sulu, you've really let yourself go. He's like, I'm sorry, Captain. And Chekhov's like, Captain, or Scotty's like, we don't have any ketchup. And he's like, come on, get ketchup. I need some more ketchup. And then Dana Carvey shows up and he's Khan. He's like, I'm here, Kirk. I want your best menu, Kirk. You know, just, I mean, I remember stuff like that.
I met James Doohan once. Who really? Was Scotty? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, in Atlanta.
Really?
He's a really nice guy. I mean, just like when we went to Fan Fest, I don't have to over embellish. Can you over embellish something? That kind of the same thing. I don't have to embellish my interaction. I was just like, hey, how you doing? And he said, good. How are you? And that was it.
Did you get an autograph?
No. I'm not an autograph. See? I know I met him. I don't need the autograph to.
As Bill Murray would say, no one's going to believe you.
I mean, I was at Dragon Con. It wasn't like I bumped into it at a Hardee's. I went to Dragon Con. Gotcha. And he was there. And I mean, gotcha. I just walked by and there was nobody at his table. And I said, how you doing? You know.
So 30 years ago, William Shatner was in a skit about you.
Yeah. But I'm not a Star Trek fan. Actually, my buddy and I had a joke about going. Have you ever seen Enter the Dragon?
Yeah. Well, okay. Parts of it. Yeah.
Well, there's a scene when Jim Brown is like, I think it's Jim Brown. Anyway, Jim Kelly. I can't remember the guy's name. The black guy in Enter the Dragon.
I have no idea.
Where he goes into Mr. Han's.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
No. He was in Game of Death. he goes into Mr. Han's office, and Mr. Han's, you know, he said, Mr. Han, suddenly I'd like to leave your island. And Mr. Han says, I'm afraid that is not possible. And he says, bull blank, Mr. Hand Man, because he's got a fake hand.
Yeah.
Well, crap, Mr. Hand Man. And so anyway, I wanted to walk up to James Doohan.
Yeah.
And say, $20 for an autograph? Bull crap, Mr. Doohan Man. That's a stupid story that nobody's going to get. But me and my buddy had this running joke for years about saying that.
And that's all Saturday Night Live is. It's running jokes. It's things we're quoting stuff from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it's embedded in our brains.
Yeah.
Even Christian Slater, who is not our favorite, not my favorite.
No, I like Christian Slater.
I appreciate him.
I actually do like
him. Heathers.
I love Pump Up the Volume and Heathers.
Christian Slater, he hosted and he made fun of werewolf movies where he's like, oh my goodness, I'm changing. What's wrong with me? And he put his head down and he would put on like a little makeup and say, oh my goodness, my eyes, they're getting bigger. What is going on? And just hilarious. And then he did one where the Super Fire Hot Wings. Oh my goodness, where he wants Super Fire Hot and they bring him out the mile, then they bring him out the meat, and he has to sign all this waiver. And at the end, he finally starts eating the Super Fire Hot Wings, and it's just Phil Hartman, who's the manager of the restaurant, with a voiceover as Scott Hansen bit into and talks about how hot the wing was. But I just remember stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like anytime I'm getting wings, I'm always like, oh, these Super Fire Hot Wings.
And I'm sure like my nephew will always remember Jim Carrey rolling that booger.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, anytime he'll... If you're female listening to the show, I don't know how many female listeners we have. We have listeners all over the world. But men pick their noses when we're driving.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen.
I'm going to pick my nose on the way to the car.
Yeah.
Already started. So, I may not be picking, but I'm working on a strategy.
Right. So that's what's so.
I think I can tell I got one here. and I believe my pinky will work good together.
Like, I hate it when my wife gets on to my son for picking his nose. I'm like, listen, he's gonna be doing that's as natural as growing hair on your chest. That's right. Let the boy go.
That's right, man. Well, if you think it's bad that he's fidgeting with his nose, wait till he's old enough to watch Saturday Night Live.
One of my all-time favorites, and again, one person we haven't talked about yet, is John Lovitz.
Oh, yeah.
Who I've got the best of John Lovitz. He's definitely in that category. When they made the switch, 85 and 86, Lovitz was one of the few people they kept. Because he was so good. He had kind of been the anchor.
That's the ticket.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah, Morgan Fairchild.
Did I steal your thunder there?
No.
All right, I'm sorry.
Now, Phil Hartman and John Lovitz did the skit about the like the World War II movie guy.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that?
I don't know if I remember that.
Where he's like, John Lovitz is like, your career is over. He's finished. He's like, what are people saying about me? He's like, you're done. You're never going to work in this town again. Everybody knows it. And then Phil Hartman's like, what's the word on the street? And this is hilarious.
I have to check that out.
But another one, definitely, this is top five skits of all time for cultural phenomenon. In my opinion.
A cultural phenomenon. Is that anything like a phenomenon? The phenomenon. It's like when I hear, sometimes I listen back to us when we're talking about ECW, WCW when we're talking about them. There's no doubt we're in the South.
Yes. Hanukkah Harry.
Oh.
Class. On Herschel, slow-mo. Just, hello, kids. I am Hanukkah Harry. Look,
yeah, that's good.
Look what I got. A dreidel. And you, socks. Saint pair. Can you believe it? Every year, my kids get socks. And they open the box and like, socks. I'm like, eight pair. Can you believe it?
You buy your kids socks just so you can make a joke.
Yes, I buy my kids great. Socks for Christmas.
That's commitment to parenthood.
That's right. Jenny's speech about the true meaning of Christmas cured my flu. But what's great is, you know, it's Julia Sweeney. Sorry, Victoria Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Who this guy, we were talking about.
Who's a very underrated member.
Underrated. She was listed here on a list as the worst cast member of all time. Oh, and I take ridiculous. Offense
yeah,
to that.
She's very, very underrated.
But she does the speech. She's like, maybe Jews and Gentiles are really the same. And John Love is in the background. Like, he was just so... like, I don't think you know this. I played... we did Annie at Southern Wesleyan University. I really didn't have time to do it. But they wanted me to do the radio host from the movie where... he's got the, you know, hey, I'll make you smile or something like that. Well, I went in and auditioned for Rooster, and I did Rooster, and I'm telling you, all I did was I just tried to channel John Lovitz.
Yeah.
Like, if I could go back and find a tape, like, my accent, John Lovitz, if you're ever listening to this, I appreciate you. You got my acting career started. Do you remember the one? Do you remember?
How about
speaking of?
How about the Chris Farley show?
Yes,
where he would do just what you did right there. Do you remember that time when he's asking Paul McCartney?
Yeah,
when you said the love you take is equal to the love you make.
Yeah,
yeah, Chris, I remember that. Is that true? I loved it. He was just the starstruck fan.
Yeah, Chris Farley just.
That Chippendales is, I think, it's been ranked by a lot of people as the greatest.
Yeah, that whole Patrick Swayze episode was amazing. It's good,
but that was one of Chris Farley's first
sketches. That was his coming out
party. That was one, right, and it was one of the first sketches he'd ever had a focal part
yeah.
of. And, I mean, it launched his career. My nephew, when I showed that to him a few years ago, I was like, you... Because I'm like, just like my father was with me,
yeah.
I feel like I need to expose him to good comedy.
Yeah.
Or what I consider good comedy.
Yeah.
And so it was Tommy Boy. We watched Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
And then we watched The Best of Chris Farley so he could see that. And
yeah.
I mean, he laughed. Like, it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen in his life. And I laughed at him laughing at it.
Right, you know? Right.
It's just, that was a great sketch. I loved Chris Farley.
Man. Yeah.
Bennett Brown. I may not look the part. Yeah. So what if I eat my own dandruff?
And we talked about Matt Foley earlier.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbeliever.
I'm going to save it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even going to do the impression on the show.
No, we're going to – that's going to be a separate – special, yeah. You know, if you
because
buy a membership
to
the site.
You have yeah. to see the you know.
Yeah. And see, I do the dad. Well, yeah. Matt, actually, David's mother and I have encouraged him in his writing.
I have to work up to the voice.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to just start doing voices.
Do you remember they did the coffee commercial? where they go up to fit Chris Farley, and he's like, hey, did you know we've replaced your usual coffee with... Yeah. He's like, you did what? He just goes nuts. Yeah.
You did
what? I can't believe you. You lied to me.
Speaking of commercials, how about Colon Blow?
Colon Blow. Hibernol.
Little Chocolate Donuts.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
one of my favorites, man. John Belushi eating Little Chocolate Donuts for breakfast every morning.
And smoking a cigarette. Yeah.
They show him running on the track. Chocolate Donuts. I have them every morning for breakfast.
Going back to the Chippendales thing where they're like, well, guys, we've made our decision, and Adrian, we're going to go with you. And Barney...
Farley does the one last.
Barney, we just decided that for the Chippendales, Adrian has more of the look we're looking for. And Patrick Swayze's like, I know, because I'm straight dancing. Ain't no way I'm better than this guy. And he's like, amen. And Kevin Nealon's like, amen to that.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And we're just jumping around. Do you remember
the one?
Do you remember, that's what I'm going to do in honor of Chris Farley. The People's Court with Satan. Where Satan,
I don't know if I remember that.
Where Satan, Satan's trying to do something, and Phil Hartman's the judge. He's like, Mr. Metastophocles, I will hold you in contempt. And when it's over, he's doing the interview, and he's like, worship me, looking at the thing. Tarzan, Tonto, and Frankenstein.
Oh, man. The Christmas... Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And then the one, I guess they were on Tark Show, fire, man.
Yeah.
Fire. And then they're like, what do you think about fire? Fire, good. Tarzan like fire. Tonto like fire. We talked about the Sinatra group. We talked about the pathological liar, John Lovitz. What about... Mr. No Depth Perception, Kevin Nealon. I think they only did one skit with
Mr. Subliminal.
Mr. Subliminal was good.
Kevin Nealon had those. Yeah, he had a couple of those. Mr. Subliminal, Mr. No Depth Perception.
Did you like Kevin Nealon on Weekend Update?
I did. And, you know, speaking of Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Would we have Daily Show and Colbert Report?
Are you serious?
Would we have stuff like that if it wasn't for Weekend Update?
I was going to say, I've been thinking about that all morning.
Really?
I have been thinking about that. What used to be just a 5 to 10 minute segment on one show. Yes, I think I totally agree with you.
And I loved Dennis Miller when he did it. I like Norm Macdonald.
There's really not anybody that did it that I didn't like because they were all different.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember
Jane, you ignorant slut.
I don't remember who Dennis Miller took over for.
I don't know.
And I appreciate his brand of comedy more now.
Yeah.
Because it's very highbrow and very snarky.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get a lot of his jokes.
And another thing that I always dug about the Weekend Update, though, was the guests.
Yes.
That they would bring on. Will Ferrell did one. And if he's listening, I either owe him an apology or he'll take it as a great compliment. One of my best friends in the world is Josh Kreutzer.
Yeah.
Who I think you...
Yeah, we're friends on... Yeah.
Just one of my best friends in the world. And Will Ferrell, and I don't think I've ever said this to Josh, he does a frat boy character.
Yeah.
Where he goes, you don't even know, man. You don't even know. And he's just... every time I watch that, for some reason, I think of Josh. Not because Josh is a frat boy, but it's just the way that he talks. He speaks in the same way that Josh was prone to speak when we were 19 years old. And I think about him every time I see that.
So who are some of your favorite guests on Weekend Update?
Oh, the old man that Dana Carvey did. That's the way it was and we liked it. That guy was good. I don't remember his name.
Grumpy Old Man.
Grumpy Old Man, I guess was his name. He was good. Stefan, I think, the one that they do now that Bill Hader did.
Yeah. I used to like Adam Sandler would do the songs. That's how the Hanukkah song got started. Yeah. Jimmy Fallon would do some songs. Uh-huh. Adam Sandler had, the cheap Halloween costume ideas.
Yeah.
Now, they did that one year.
Look at me. I got a cell phone on my head. Give me some candy.
Please. cheese. I'm hungry. Give it to me. But they did that the first year. It was great. And then they brought it back the next year, and it just was not nearly as good. He's Opperman. That's where Opperman got his start, and absolutely one.
You say that's where Opperman got his start.
Was it?
Like Opperman has gone on to have this incredible career. I mean, that's where Opperman got his start. And pray tell, Heath, what has Opperman done since then? just out of curiosity. But no, I think that brought Adam Sandler.
Right. Adam Sandler also did.
Because he was better in those roles than he was in being in a sketch.
Yes.
He was better like just performing and doing a character in that type of environment. And is one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
Despite the quality of what some of his films lately.
Right.
There was a time when everybody was on the Adam Sandler train.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. Yes. Some of those first few movies that he come out with. Me and my nephew still watch.
In the demographic of 18 to 24, there was maybe an 8-year period that Adam Sandler was the biggest movie star in the world.
He was the biggest comedy star in the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't rewrite history and say because Jack and Jill sucked.
Yes.
All right. I mean, let's just cut.
But Jack and Jill was one of his few movies I could watch with my kids.
Well, there you go. And maybe I think
now it was terrible. But we watched it.
Sometimes maybe that's what those guys are doing.
Yeah.
Because they got kids of their own now. And maybe they'd like for their kids to be able to watch their movies. Yeah. Grown-ups, you can say what you want to say. Grown-ups and Grown-ups 2 are funny.
I haven't seen Grown-ups 2 yet.
It's funny. It's got Stone Cold Steve Austin in it.
Oh, there you go. That's
and,
all.
He was the bully growing up.
Nice.
And at the end, he's always picking on Adam Sandler, but at the end he has a change of heart and he's like, all right, I'm going to let Adam Sandler's character go over on me in front of his kids so he can save some face. And then Sandler takes it too far and he's like, all right, don't push it, you know?
Sandler did a one-time character called Rocky Pete. And he's like, and everybody's booing. He's like, yeah, Rocky, you listen to a Rocky Pete. And he gets, what's American Gothic, the painting of the old man and the old woman. And he puts his head through. He's like, you look at you like this painting? You see? He puts his head through. No, Rocky Pete owns the farm. And Rusty Teasley, one of our friends from high school, if he walked in that door, we would start talking about a Rocky Pete.
Yeah.
Because Rusty kind of looked like Adam Sandler and could do the voice.
Yeah.
And I think for me about Saturday Night Live, it makes me remember some of the most fun times of my life.
Right.
Because most
sitting
of
sitting around reenacting those skits.
Yes. Yes.
Because like you talked about, we would get it on VHS and there was no YouTube and you would just watch those tapes
over
and over and over again and you'd learn them and you'd get the, like I do voices now and they suck.
Yeah.
And maybe they suck then and I just didn't realize that
you were great.
But now I'm not good at it because I don't do it all the time. But you would work on it because they were like, I'm going to get Heath to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I do this, I'm going to get a laugh out of everybody. and you just work and work and work at it and get good at it. But now I'm out of practice.
Yeah. One person.
I have got a ton of stuff. We're just talking about your stuff. You know that, right?
What have you got?
It's okay. It's okay. You're just throwing stuff out to me.
So
I've still got a whole list of stuff.
I know. I do too. About. We have it. This is going to be a 3-hour episode.
We might better break it into two.
Well, let's do that. So let's, because right now we're talking about Saturday Night Live we grew up with. So let me ask you this. Is your stuff more current stuff or is it?
Oh, I'm across the board.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Let's just keep talking.
We've just been talking about your stuff.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm not just going to job you out.
I'm not upset about that. I'm just letting you know. I still got a lot of stuff I want to get to.
So what's something on your list over there?
Can you, and I'm sure you don't see a lot of them in your day-to-day life, but have you ever one time walked by a hot tub and not went, ow!
Yes.
It's too hot in the hot tub.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Every time.
If there's a if there is a hot tub in the hotel room, ha! A good guy! You know,
look at me like,
I'm doing it. It's, I'm going to get in the hot tub. Is it going to make me hot? Is it going to make me sweat? was too high tonight.
And we haven't even said anything about Eddie Murphy.
No, that's what I'm. I got a list of Eddie Murphy.
Buckwheat has been shot. Oh, Buckwheat is dead. And they
have
just
you seen the footage? Let's take you to the footage right now. But before the buckwheat has been shot, it was the buckwheat singing. You know, looking for nub
in all the warm places. Looking for nub. That was great, man.
Your aunt's ties a few times a mayday.
A time a day. That was the one question mark.
When he was doing what I assume is a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah.
I nub you. As he's walking out the building before he gets shot. That's great, man. I nub you.
He did Gumby.
Oh, Gumby, damn it. Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, children. Today's word is scumbag. Do you know any scumbags? I bet you do. You get the knock on the door, and he goes, wait a minute, children. This is how we answer the door in my neighborhood. Who is it?
Oh my goodness. Eddie Murphy was just.
How about for guest hosts?
Yeah.
There's a few that always stand out, but number one and number two for me are always Alec Baldwin and Christopher Walken.
Yes. Yes.
Alec Baldwin.
Oh.
The canteen boy.
Canteen boy. Yes. Yes.
Speaking of Adams, that's all I'm going to say. If you don't know what Canteen Boy is, harken back to our Uncle Buck conversation. Yeah, yeah. Because he's a scoutmaster, Alec Baldwin's a scoutmaster, and Canteen Boy is the nerdy scout, and he's trying to get him to rub lotion on his chest and stuff like that. It's great, man. It's funny. It's funny. And then
you can't mention Alec Baldwin without mentioning
sweaty balls, and sweaty sausages, and I mean the whole sweaty line.
Yeah,
he's a purveyor of sweaty goods all over town.
But the fact that was an NPR, and you had the two ladies hosting, is like, oh yes,
and like for them, like the great setup for it was to me anyway. Like it's just a little subtle thing, that. The double entendre of the name of his store was Seasons Eatings.
Uh-huh.
And she just thought that was...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she was like, I just love the name of his store. It's Seasons Eatings. Because get it? It's Christmas time. And then to know where the skit goes from that.
That's right.
And then he comes back and he's got his sausages. And he's done a couple of those.
Oh, yeah.
He gets it. Like, Alec Baldwin gets... being funny.
He hosted about once a year.
Yeah, he hosts a lot. And then Christopher Walken, the more cowbell, I think that may be the greatest, most quotable skit ever.
Yeah.
What do you think? Maybe it's not your favorite. I don't know that it's my personal favorite, but it may get
quoted. Now, that's a cultural phenomenon.
Right, it is, and it's a big thing.
I'm telling you, just about every Sunday before church, the band's doing a sound check.
Uh-huh.
And how many churches are in this country, in this world, and you're doing a sound check? Like, how's everything sound? Need more cowbell.
Right.
I mean, it is just, it's and if they're in doing the fabric.
And if you're doing it in church, it's being done everywhere.
Right. Right.
You know, that's a cultural thing. And I love the line when in the thing where he goes, I'm just like you. I put my pants on one. I'm not trying to do walking.
Right. Right. Oh, it's impossible.
I can do it. I just have to get in. I have to be prepared to do it. But I'm just like you. I put my pants on one leg at a time. The only difference is once I got my pants on, I make gold records.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a great line. And then he does the Continental.
Yeah.
Where would you like some more champagne? he's just a creepy guy trying to drug his neighbor.
Is it bad that I think it... I mean, I like Christopher Walken, but I like people impersonating Christopher Walken better. Like Kevin Spacey does Walken.
Jay Moore, a bunch of them do him. Another one, another probably one of my favorite Christopher Walken sketches on there is when he plays Colonel Angus.
The fact that they make it through, do they make it through with straight faces?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Tina Fey wrote that.
Really?
And they just, I mean, they just knocked it out of the park with adding that southern accent to Colonel.
Oh, Angus. Yes.
You can do it yourself and figure out what word you're saying when you add a that deep Colonel.
Yeah.
So.
And Tina Fey.
Oh, man.
Oh, just my.
Incredibly She's talented, funny. Man. She's I thought she was great on Weekend Update. She was yes. perfect as Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
I think she came back just to be Sarah
Palin. Oh, yeah.
Right? She'd already left the show, but everybody's like, look at him.
Right.
How is she not going to be Sarah Palin?
Yeah, just.
Yeah, she's
just,
incredibly talented.
Did you have any more Christopher Walken stuff?
That was it. I just wanted to make sure I talked about Colonel Angus to get under your skin.
No, that's good.
And you know what his real name was, don't you? Name in the skit in the sketch. So let's go ahead and move on. And you can, but in the sketch, that's true. That's his name. And you can call me by my first name. And you tell anybody if they're looking. I know you're taking that part out.
No, okay. No. All right, so.
It don't bother me. What, you can leave it in.
What's some other stuff you got?
Oh, well, how about the cheerleaders, man?
Oh, yeah.
The Spartan cheerleaders.
We hadn't even talked about Will Ferrell
yet. We hadn't got. That's what I was wanting to get to was just Will Ferrell, how great. And probably the biggest movie star ever.
From Saturday Night Live.
Wouldn't you say to come off of Saturday Night Live, he'd be the biggest? I know it's a toss-up because everybody likes Bill Murray. And Adam Sandler's a big star. But, man, Will Ferrell, he's been in some huge movies.
Right. Yeah.
Made a lot of money. So he may be.
Dude, Will Ferrell made a movie that's all in Spanish.
Yeah. And he made the Land of the Lost movie, which I
never saw it.
Oh, I was so disappointed that it didn't do better.
Right.
Because I would love to have seen it. Because I love it.
Right.
My nephew and I watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, it is great. There's a you've never seen it, man. Uh-uh. I have to bring it to you because it is hilarious, man. It got this bad word of mouth. It's got Kenny Powers in it, Danny McBride, they're trying to hide themselves from the T-Rex. So he stands under while it goes to the bathroom, and he's got this thing full of dinosaur urine.
Yeah.
To coat themselves with, and he dumps it all over himself, and he's like, oh, it's kind of burning my eyes. And he just goes through this whole list of coating himself in dinosaur urine. It's lowbrow humor.
Right.
But, God, it is funny.
That's funny, man.
It is a funny, funny scene in a movie.
He won. I talked about the Grantland bracket. He won the popular vote. I think I mentioned that earlier. So he's just... And if you look at lists, and I don't respect every list I read, he's always in the top two or one or two.
Oh,
James Lipton, phenomenal.
Yes, I forgot about that, man.
Trebek.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Okay. What's your thoughts on Will Ferrell's Alex Trebek?
Well, it's not the Alex Trebek that's funny. It's the... Norm MacDonald doing Burt Reynolds and calling himself Turd Ferguson. You know, that's changed my name. It's Turd Ferguson.
And then Sean Connery.
That's what
who's that? Daryl Hammond?
What's the sound that a dog makes? And Sean Connery rings in and goes, moo. He said, no, we would have accepted Wolf or Ruff. Just the way. when he said, moo, that's the sound that's not the sound. Moo is not the sound that a dog makes, but that's the sound. With your dang old mustache and your greasy hair. I just said, let's refrain from all ethnic slurs. Once again, I must remind everyone to please refrain from using ethnic slurs. Look at you, Trebek, with your big old mustache and your greasy hair. Just saying. Let's refrain from using.
Will Ferrell, you mentioned, you know, the more cowbell. That was great. The cheerleaders were absolutely awesome. I'm trying to think what other like long-term characters.
I don't know, man.
I know he did. I know he did. I'm just
He was Bush. He did George.
Yeah,
Bush.
Yeah.
And was good enough at that that he got an HBO special out of it.
Right. So right.
He clearly did a good George W. Bush. You know what we hadn't talked about yet?
What's that?
Wayne's World.
Oh,
Wayne's
yeah.
Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.
They got two movies. They got two movies out of that. Yeah. One of them reignited Rob Lowe's career.
Right.
And you had Dana Carvey. Oh, just absolutely.
Yeah, but they've had a falling out over that.
Really?
Yeah. The two of them have had sort of a falling out because, like, Mike Myers is kind of a control freak.
Really?
And he really took a lot of the credit for it when they developed it together. And, like, it kind of bothered Dana Carvey. That's kind of been my understanding of it, that he wanted to – he felt like the perception that Myers was giving everybody was like, this is my creation, where it was both of them working together.
Yeah. To Mike Myers, who was the German – Now is the time Dieter. On Sprockets When We Dine.
Yeah, Dieter. That and was Jimmy good. Stewart on there. Oh, the little son of a bet me. Would you like to touch my monkey?
Dana Carvey.
Well, you know, my name is Simon.
And I like to do drawings. Mike Myers always played like a good kid. On the show.
Yeah.
Like a little boy or whatever. You remember the one?
And that's his gig, is playing overgrown.
He played the one time where he was the kid and he was wearing the helmet and was scrappy and he was just like.
He ate the chocolate bar.
Yeah.
He uprooted the jungle gym and was dragging it. I forgot all
that's
about
what,
that.
See, man. This moment, that moment we just had, that's what I was hoping would come of this episode, because we can make our list, but we're going to remember.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to make anybody's top 10 list of sketches, but good night when you think about Mike Myers wearing a helmet, strapped in, and pulling the jungle gym.
he just devoured that chocolate bar. It was all over his face.
Dana Carvey is right there with John Lovitz and Phil Hartman, that kind of that class. And just for me, that's who I didn't do a Perot impersonation. I didn't do a Bush impersonation. I did a Dana Carvey impersonation. Right. The church lady.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, isn't that special?
Could it be?
Satan.
Think you can add special effects, sound effects when we say Satan?
But Dana Carvey, when he left Saturday Night Live, he did a movie called Opportunity Knocks, which I just taped the other night. I love that movie.
Really?
It was a little bit out of his element. His second, because Dana Carvey is first and foremost an impressionist.
Right.
He did his second movie. The second
Master
movie,
of Disguise movie.
Which almost sent him into witness protection.
Yeah, that's not good.
So not every Saturday Night Live cast member has had this astounding movie career.
No, sometimes translate from a 4 or 5 minute. It's like Kramer on Saturday Night on Seinfeld is great. But if you look back at how much time he was on screen in each episode of Seinfeld, it wasn't a lot.
Right.
It would usually just be 5 or 6 minutes an episode where Kramer was on screen.
Yeah.
Because he was perfect for that. Not every. I don't know if somebody's going, what about this one? When he went to California or whatever. Yeah. But a lot of episodes, he was not in it for more than half of the episode.
Right.
Because he worked in small doses. But when they gave Michael Richards his own show, it didn't translate as well.
Right. Right.
And I think it's the same with a lot of those kind of guys, like Dana Carvey, really good for doing what he does, but he doesn't look like an actor.
Right. You know? Now, Dana Carvey, Kevin Nealon, and I think John Lovitz did a tour And I regret they were at the Bilo Center in Greenville.
Oh.
And I missed it. And I really regret that. It was just the three of them. Might have been Dennis Miller. I can't remember who. But yeah. It was good. I wanted to go see it and didn't get to see it.
Dana Carvey used to do the impersonation of Dennis Miller.
Yes.
Whilst he was sitting beside Dennis Miller. And you could just tell that it was like kind of getting under Dennis Miller's skin a little bit.
I loved it. Dana Carvey. What was...
Like, check it out, Baba Ganoush.
Massive head wound, Harry.
Oh, that was good stuff, man. How about the one, the family that was sitting around, and it was Will Ferrell, and I think it might have been, I don't even remember who the daughter was, but everything was nice, and they were just eating their supper, and then occasionally it would just erupt into this huge fight for like 10 seconds, and then it would settle back down, and they'd go back to eating. I don't remember anything about it, but I like that. There was another one that my wife and I quote a lot when Britney Spears hosted, and she went down in the sewers, and they did Beauty and the Beast with her and Tracy Morgan.
Oh.
And he was like this homeless guy. And the only thing we ever say is he was singing, he had written a song.
Uh-huh.
And the chorus was, make a doo-doo pie. And for some reason, my wife and I latched on to that. And for years, we've occasionally will look to one another and go, make a doo-doo pie.
Let's talk about... a guy who's been on the show a long time, and I would say underrated, and that's Kenan Thompson.
Uh-huh.
I think that guy is hilarious. But again, in doses. I mean, he's not going to carry a show by himself.
What's up with that?
Yeah, what's up
with that? What's up with that?
He does a great Al Sharpton. Yeah. Hilarious.
And there's always like that backbone cast member. For years, it was Tim Meadows.
Yes.
Was the same way. Who was on there for years, and he was like, he had the ladies' man.
Yes.
I loved that movie.
Yeah. I never saw it.
You never saw it. It's funny, man. It's a funny movie. That character's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, I'm Leon. Well, Leon Phelps.
Yeah.
The ladies' man.
You on with the ladies' man.
There's
a good one, but I can't say it. So.
What was the one I thought of? We were talking about something, and that led me to Kenan Thompson, and I'm trying to retract my train.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
No. It's well,
I
let's just
wanted
keep...
to get something.
Oh, one of the – he only hosted one time, but it's a skit I'll never forget. George Steinbrenner hosted the show. He did this skit where he owned a hardware store. He had like 100 employees, and the manager comes up and is like, hey, are you – this guy is just, he's just sitting in the aisle. He's not even doing anything. He's like, you need to fire him. He's like, I can't bring myself to fire him. I mean, just playing off, making fun of his. And he's like, well, didn't we already fire this guy? He's like, yeah, but then you hired him back. And he's like, what kind of idiot would fire someone, hire them back and do that? Back, and they were kind of making fun of the whole Billy Martin thing.
Right.
And there was some other skit. Those episodes are good. Anytime there's a host completely out of their element.
Yeah.
Athletes don't always make the best host, but that normally there's that moment where, like Michael Jordan, that was not a great episode, but when he looks in the mirror and Stuart saw, and he's looking in the mirror, he's like, I'm good enough, smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Yeah.
Just hilarious. When Charles Barkley is beating up Barney playing basketball.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Peyton Manning was good.
Peyton Manning was awesome.
He's really good.
But
you know, you're talking about Jordan. How about the Bulls? The Bears.
The Bulls. Yeah. Oh, we didn't even.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
The Bulls.
How many heart attacks does that make, Todd? Nah, that's a baker's dozen.
That's a baker's dozen. The Bulls. Dicka in the Indy 500 driving a bus. Who wins, Dicka or Rick Mears? Are the Bears on the bus? Yeah. Dicka. The Bears.
Dicka versus a tornado. but the tornado is his name Ditka.
Oh. Speaking of bad weather, what about El Nino?
Oh, man.
I am El
Nino. I am the great El Nino. El Nino is Spanish for the Nino.
I forgot about it.
What about...
I am the great El Nino.
Deep thoughts.
Yeah. With I Jack think I Handy. Mentioned that to you before. You had forgotten about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I wrote it down. Yeah. Just, hey, if you ever fall out of a window... Just go limp like a dummy because someone may catch you because, hey, free dummy. I'd like to have a kryptonite cross. That way I could ward off Superman and Dracula. Just
the most surreal things you can think of. I loved them. I wish I could remember some of them because I don't. They used to have a book that had them all.
Yes. In it, you know, yes.
To see if I can find a copy of that.
That would be, you know, that might be a good... That might be a good gimmick table one day.
Yeah, it might be.
The Jack Handy book. Then that's the kind of thing when it came out. You would just sit at school and just quote yeah. those over yeah. and over and over.
Uh-huh.
And you try to write your own, and it just wasn't
wasn't as good. No, yeah.
It just was not
man,
as good.
It seemed like me and Derek McLaughlin tried to write an episode of Seinfeld.
Larry David, you are not.
No.
What's some other good stuff you got?
Oh, man. How about, do you remember the Festrunk brothers? Dan Aykroyd and Steve Martin?
We are.
A two wild and crazy guys.
Yeah. Steve Martin.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. I love Steve Martin, man. My dad was a big Steve Martin fan. And I remember watching The Jerk early yes. on. I mean, I don't know how many times we watched The Jerk. And... Like, I always watched it on TBS
yeah.
for years and years and years. And then I bought my own copy, and I was surprised to learn that that dog's name was not Stupid. What? I thought his name was Stupid.
I remember when Tom Hanks joined the Five Timers Club,
mm-hmm.
and he goes in, and they're giving yeah. him, he's like, hey, it's Steve Martin. He's like, oh, no, please, call me Mr. Steve Martin.
That's right. Yeah, it's like him and Paul Simon.
Yeah.
I think John Goodman.
I mean, Steve Martin always played that, you know, that yeah. kind of that stuck up
yeah,
character.
Oh, yeah, that arrogant.
Oh, my goodness. That guy's funny. That guy's funny. Man, let's just keep going. Throw out some stuff.
That's what I got.
We've come to the end of our...
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff. We've just been rambling. Hey, no. Remember this, remember that.
And I'm hoping, this is what we hope comes from this episode. As you've listened, what memories have been spurred from you? We want to know.
And I know that like we're going to get the, just like every time we do one of these, I can't believe you didn't talk about John Belushi doing The Samurai.
Oh, my goodness. John Belushi doing anything.
John Belushi doing anything. Or Chevy Chase. And I mean, there's going to be that.
Right.
I don't know how long we've been talking now, but.
Well, we're an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Well. So, and here's the thing. You're talking about a show that's been on TV 40 years.
40 years. We were not going to get it all.
No.
You know what I mean? So, but tell us what your favorite
but
stuff
this,
was.
But this podcast is just one medium. We have on Facebook, we have a group called The Wrestling You Grew Up With. We're going to, when we post the show, throw out your Saturday Night Live memory. Throw us out a line on Twitter. At Heath Mulliken. Mark, you're...
At the DDK Show.
Like, our goal was not to cover everything. Our goal, this podcast, is to start a conversation about the Saturday Night Live you grew up with. I would love to have an online debate of, was it better then, is it better now? I'm sure kids today are going to say, well, it's better now, right. So-and-so. We didn't mention Kristen Wiig, didn't mention Bill Hader. There's a lot of talented people.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig is not only beautiful, but funny.
She is funny.
And when you're as pretty as she is, you can do those ugly characters better. Yes. You know what I mean?
Like Rachel Dratch, as funny as she is.
It's kind of mean to laugh at her doing a...
Right. Right. Right.
But speaking of her, the lovers, her and Will Ferrell, have you seen them?
Wait, which?
When they call each other lover. We roasted on succulent goat meat.
Yes. Is it? Do you find yourself, when you watch the old Saturday Night Live, you know, from when we grew up, I get all the jokes now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it was some things just like, well, like, you know, when you're a kid, you don't get the double meaning.
Right. That's why I kind of let my nephew watch a lot of comedy stuff, because, like, as an adult, he didn't even get that joke.
Right, right. You know, just way over his head.
He was the other day, we were watching something, and he explained the joke to me, and I said, son, there have been like 10 jokes in this movie so far that went right over your head, so I don't need for you to explain the simple ones to me.
Hey, did you get that? Yes, I got it.
Yes, I got it.
But the jokes that you get are just as funny. What was I going to say? I have no idea what I was going to say. The jokes you get are just as funny as the jokes you don't.
Yeah.
Get.
Yeah. That you get later.
Get later. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And that to me is the beauty of this show, that it created these moments. And I think, if I may, tying it back into wrestling, when we talk about wrestling, I grew up mid-Atlantic. It was an hour-long show. I don't remember the whole episode.
Right.
I remember segments.
Yeah.
When Dusty Rhodes cuts his Hard Times promo, I don't remember what happened right after that.
Right.
What's great about wrestling today is they, with the network, they're embracing that media has changed.
Yes.
That people, you know, after Saturday Night Live, they're going to post clips of it.
If there's a sketch that everybody agrees is, this was classic comedy, right? It's going to be all over YouTube.
Yes.
It's going to be sectioned off and put in a special part on Hulu. I mean, right. it'll be on NBC's website.
Right. And it used to be they were making the best of DVDs of each person, which those were.
Yeah, I've got a lot of those.
Those were phenomenal. And if you haven't, like I said, I have the Phil Hartman one. I have the John Lovitz one. I have the Dana Carvey one. I mean, that's what I grew up with. That's what I default to. It's like Magnum T.A. and Telly Blanchard. Default to Phil Hartman and those.
You're all hung up on some clown from the past, man.
Wait, what's that from?
From Seinfeld.
Oh,
yeah. When George is going, you never heard of Bozo? It's in his name. He's the clown. You hung up on some clown from the past, man.
Oh, just funny stuff. So anyway, join the conversation. Feel more than free. We know we left stuff out.
Yeah, intentionally. So
Believe
it or not, we plan on be doing this show for a long time. We got to have something to talk about.
Now, don't you dare think that we didn't talk about stuff because we didn't know about it.
No.
Mark knows everything about Saturday Night Live. He will school you. Don't come up and it's like, well, Mark didn't know about this. He did know about it. We intentionally left stuff out because we want you, the fans, to have something to talk about.
That's right. I want you to be able to criticize me.
I don't. I think we're above criticism. But, hey, I tell you what would get me off your case as far as criticizing us is if you gave us a rating or review on iTunes. If you really want to criticize us, go on there, hit 5 stars, and then write one sentence about what we left off
there
of this episode. That would be great. Go. You can download us on the Apple Podcast app. You can download us on Stitcher. You can go to DoubleDropKick.com. You know what? If you're working in a cubicle, you're at your office, go to DoubleDropKick.com. Pop your headphones in. Your boss is going to think you're working. You're going to be listening to our podcast. Let me tell you, you listen to our podcast, your day's going to go by a lot better and a lot faster, because we're going to remind you about when life was awesome.
That's right. Unlike today, when life sucks.
Listen, today may suck, but there's always tomorrow.
That's right.
There's a decent chance tomorrow may suck as well.
But if it does, go watch some old episodes of Saturday Night Live, and maybe it'll brighten your day up a little bit.
That's right. That's right. And be looking for to be posted This is the teaser of teases. Mark Whitman, the Chris Farley impersonation, going to be posted online.
Matt Foley.
My name is Matt. I can't even do it. I'm not even going to do it. I'm going to be Phil Hartman. So anyway, we have loved doing this episode. It has brought joy to my soul. My hand is touching your hand. I hope it's brought joy to Mark's soul today.
I've enjoyed listening to you talk about Saturday Night Live.
What? I've enjoyed listening to you. Hey, it's season two. I'm supposed to be the heel.
I know. I like that.
So, anyway, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulligan.
And reminding you to stay off the pipe. Don't forget to wipe. And if they ask you what you're doing, tell them I'm chilling. I'm Mark Whitman.